2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, and verse 8. The other night, I was in the laundry room with Brother Kevin here at the store, and I felt like the Lord was willing to give me a song. I didn't have anything. I had a riff on the guitar. That was all I had. But I felt like the Lord was willing to give a song this night. And I had my wife bring up the guitar and just awaken the psaltery and harp in the laundry room with Brother Kevin. And as I did, I was just playing in the spirit this riff that the Lord was putting in my heart. And it was anointed, truly. The Lord was there. It was very pleasant, glorious. The Spirit of God was there. The devil was pushed back. And just playing before the Lord for about 10 minutes. After I finished, Brother Kevin, he's not the most musically inclined brother, he said, I feel like the Lord was giving me a line. I said, I didn't want to despise prophesying. I said, really? What was it? And he said it was something like, this is kind of what I was playing, this tune. He just kind of hummed it to me. I said, oh, amen. I was still not despising it. I was just wanting to hear. He said, I felt like the Lord put a scripture in my heart. Just put these words in my heart. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I didn't, you know, really understand what he was saying at the moment. I just tried to fear the Lord and fear him and the Lord. And I just started playing the riff again. And I just sang those words, and it was perfect. It's glorious. It was the song that the Lord was giving. And over the next hour, it's just this immense song grew out of it. And it's about 9 minutes. I recorded it and sent it out to a couple of the brethren. I didn't send it out to everybody because it's not perfect yet. But I believe it was of the Lord. I titled it a love song. A love song. I titled it a love song because this is the refrain. I have fought a good fight. 2 Timothy 4 verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That was his confession in the end of his days. And he continues in verse 8 and says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness directly related to this confession. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Do you see the emphasis? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Jesus Christ says in John chapter 14, brethren, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. And Paul says at the end of his days, I have kept the faith. That was a declaration of his love to the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That is the evidence. That is the proof of your heart, of your love. From the first to the last, day one to the day that you crossed the River Jordan, that is the declaration, the proof of your love to God, is your obedience to His commandments. A man can obey in form and in pretense, yes, but brethren, no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. No man can obey from the heart out of a show, out of a pretentious game he's playing. No man, but from a pure heart of love. can obey the Lord Jesus Christ, and that unto the end. Unto the end. He that endureth unto the end shall be saved. Because in the end, the many, many's hearts and love will begin to wax cold. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Their love grows cold. They grow lukewarm. Their hearts are calloused through the trials, through the onslaught of iniquity, the assaults, fearsome assaults of the devil on every side. Brother, we are going into a time unprecedented evil, unprecedented darkness is coming upon the face of the land. That's where we're going. Brethren, there is a reason why, as we approach the end of time, the earth is rending at its very seams, literally. There is a reason, a cause, why, as we approach this last day, earthquakes in various places, famines, pestilences, sword devouring, wild beasts consuming on every side, the stars falling from the heavens, the heavens themselves being shaken. Fires. Brethren, it's because two things are happening. One, he that letteth now. He that letteth now. The Holy Ghost is being withdrawn. Namely, in the presence of his body in the earth. Is being withdrawn from the earth. And as that one who hinders, one who lets, is taken away, brethren, watch out. Watch out, because also what's happening, as you see in the book of Revelation, brethren, devils that this world has never seen, known, had any interaction, any dealings whatsoever with, are going to be released in this day. Angels from God are going to be sent with keys in their hands to the bottomless pit, opening it up. Smoke covers the entire atmosphere of this enlightened world. Darkness covers. Devils are released that have been chained in darkness. That devil in the Gadarenes that cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ when it saw him. He said, "Art thou come, Jesus, thou Son of God, to torment us before the time? Don't cast us into the abyss." He didn't. Brethren, there is an abyss. There is a bottomless pit where angels, evil angels, powerful principalities, earth-shattering, destroying principalities reside. And the day is coming upon us when they will be released. How are you going to stand when that happens? Are you planning? Are you making preparations? Are you foreseeing the evil and hiding yourself, brethren? Or are you in your simplicity passing on and you're going to be punished? Be wise, therefore, brethren. Beware, therefore, brethren. This is coming. This is coming. That's why simultaneously these things are happening. The earth is rending at its very seams. All of these elements are about to be dissolved. And partly it's because the world cannot exist, must cease to exist under the presence of these principalities that are about to be released upon us. Scripture says in Jude that there are devils chained with chains of darkness reserved under the judgment of that great day, and they're going to be released in that great day. They're going to be released into this world. And that's why Christ, with a staggering degree of awe, looks upon this and with the utmost fearsome warnings, solemn charges to his people, he says, beware, take heed, watch and pray. For if it's possible, if it were possible, even the very elect in that day are going to be deceived. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that looks like? Do you understand what Christ is saying? That those which God has before ordained to eternal life in His heavenly, immutable, unchangeable decrees must be saved? If it were even possible, even they would be lost in that generation. That is solemn, brethren. A man of sin, when this one who hinders this avalanche of iniquity and darkness, false prophets on every side, one great false prophet, one image, one beast, one man of sin arises, brethren, when this one that letteth is taken out of the way, it's going to make place for a man of sin. That wicked, capital W, personal noun, that wicked man of sin is going to come. And he's going to deceive the nations. He's going to bring them all together. False Christians, Jews, Muslims. He's going to bring them all together under one banner. He is going to proclaim peace to this world at war with itself. And he's going to make war against the saints. And he's going to wear them out. And he's going to overcome them after they have overcome him by the word of their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and that they love not their lives unto the death. Then he will overcome them. But not until then. For Revelation chapter 11 says, but brethren, he's going to come with all power. All power. Lying signs and wonders. All power. Need something if we're going to stand in that day. We need a confidence. We need a steadfast confidence. We need a sure footing. We need a firm grip upon the steadfast hope of rejoicing that we have unto the end. Unto the end. Brethren, in your nature, you are like a leaky vessel that waters just flow out of. And you need grace, brethren. You need grace to stand. Grace to make it. You need something driving you, motivating you at your very core. Paul said, brethren, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And it says in Revelation chapter 8, Revelation chapter 7, that John saw a great multitude, which no man could number, standing before the throne of God with white robes and palms in their hands. And they're declaring the high praises of God, salvation to our God, which sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb. Causing all of heaven to re-echo their praise to God on the throne, at which the angels and the 24 elders fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying in response to their song, Amen. Amen. And this elder turns in the midst of this scene to John and says, who are these, John? What are these? And where have they come from? And John says, my Lord, thou knowest. And he says, in verse 14, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes. Have washed their robes. And I believe this is very much the last generation of saints that's being redeemed from off of the earth. These are they which have come out of great tribulation, and these have washed their robes, their defiled robes. They washed them in that last generation. And they made it out of great tribulation by washing their robes. God took away their defilement. God took away their sin. And they were able to stand before the Son of Man at last. With white robes, washed in the crimson blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. They shall neither hunger no more, and neither shall they thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Like I was saying the other day, in Revelation 21, it is implicit in the text, that God Himself shall wipe away the tears from their eyes. No mediator. God Himself is going to dwell among them. God Himself is going to relieve every burden. God Himself is going to make all things new. Not just wipe away the continual trickling down of their eye. God is going to do away with those things. Those things in the latter day shall be known as the former things. God will make it pass away Himself. You know what that does to my soul, brethren, to read lines like this? You know what it does, brethren, for me to remember this? It stirs my soul. It's all I want in this life. He is my shield and my exceeding great reward. Is He yours? Is He your reward? Is He what you're looking for? Is He what you're loving? His appearing. Are your eyes fascinated, captivated by other lovers? How can the captives of His beauty turn from the commandment, oh, so holy? This shatters my heart to see it. To see it working in this lampstand. To see it working in the people of God and our generation falling on every side. Jason Ballard, who would have ever thought 5 years ago this man would be where he is today. Fallen in an adulterous relationship, publishing it for all the world to see while he's married to his wife. Singing songs that I listened to in the depths of my depravity 20 years ago, losing my religion. Boldly declaring it before all the world. Boldness, brethren, looking right in the camera, saying, I'm losing my religion. You think you're above it? Brethren, I couldn't sleep the other night when I found this out. I went home, I was tired, I was sick, I had a headache. And I went home and I looked at his Facebook page, like looking after my prodigal son, looking at his Facebook page, seeing now that he's posted in the middle of the night, posted this adulterous relationship, probably with her, Friday night, middle of the night. I couldn't sleep, brethren, for hours, till 4 a.m., troubled to the depths of my soul, troubled in an agony for this man. Singing songs about sticking needles, ripping his flesh open with needles, hurting himself, injecting heroin into his veins. This man who I have 65 of his songs to God. This man who formerly said, Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my voice and let me sing only ever for my King. And now he's singing to the devil. To the devil, brethren. Because I feel that I'm not above it. I couldn't sleep. I'm just looking upon my babes and my wife, dear wife, in bed. And I'm just troubled. I'm just weeping before God. I'm just saying, Lord, help me, keep me. Let me never fall after this ensample. And as long as we fear, we will stand. If any man thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. If you fear lest you fall, you will stand by his grace. And I don't mean fearing that one day you're surely going to be destroyed at the hand of Saul. That's not what I mean. It's grace. It holds us up. It's the fat shepherds that have made our brother Jason Bellard fall. It's his pride. It's his high places. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only. Not to me only, who has fought a good fight, finished my course, and kept the faith, but unto all them that love his appearing. Those two things are one and the same to Paul. Loving is appearing. Fighting a good fight. Finishing his course. Keeping the faith. To Paul was just loving his appearing. Loving his appearing. Not loving anything else that this world affords. Not looking to anything else. Brethren, his eyes are always upwards. In the midst of all of his great tribulation. And he went through great tribulation. And every saint will go through great tribulation. And there will be a specific remnant of Christians in this last day that will go through a peculiar great tribulation. But every Christian, from first to last, if they ever made it into heaven, they inherited that inheritance with much tribulation. We must, through much tribulation, inherit the kingdom of God, is what Peter said. Paul said to the Christians after he was persecuted. He went and confirmed them all in the faith. With all of his bruises, all of his broken bones, all of his gashes, his blindness, all of his afflictions, fresh from the stoning. Boulders being hurled at his body. Boulders probably being dropped off precipices to crush him finally to death, where everybody would leave him off saying, okay, he's dead now. We've stoned him enough. And then he goes right back to all of those places where he was just persecuted. All of his war wounds, all of his tribulation, marks upon his body, telling them that you must, through much tribulation, inherit the kingdom of God. That's our lot in this life, brethren. Christians see that, they know that. And they don't comfort themselves with any of these world's enjoyments. Perish. Perish every fond ambition. All I've loved and hoped and known. Yet how rich is my condition. God and heaven are still my own. Is that your confidence, brethren? Do you rejoice? Is that a rejoicing to you? Are you holding that firm, not letting it slip? That's how you're going to make it, brethren. That's how you're going to fight a good fight, finish your course, keep the faith. It's because you love his appearing. You're looking upwards. It's not that finally when Christ comes on the clouds, then they're going to lift up their eyes and then finally look to Jesus. They've been looking to Christ all along. They've been looking up all along. They've been looking away from the things of this world, the things of heaven, all along. That was Paul's love song to God. If you love me, keep my commandments. Paul said, I love you, Lord. I love your appearing. Therefore, I kept the faith to the end. God, help us. Help us to fear. Help us to rejoice steadfastly to the end.